Would you all stand for our bride's coming in with her sons?
Alan, would you step around beside you? Now, I think, I can't remember what you were saying before you read your poem, your story, but just to make sure everybody understands, Alan and Jennifer are legally married. And they have been since 09. But there's been a lot of stress brought against that relationship. And what they're doing today is they're renewing their marriage vows to one another in front of their friends and family and all of us as a cloud of witnesses. And so, I want to charge you both with this encouragement. Beloved friends in Christ, this special moment has arrived. A moment that a short time ago seemed like an eternity away is now happening. Let's do everything we can to taste the joy of this once-in-a-lifetime experience. I want to do that by not only leading you in your vows, but also by sharing a challenge with you from the Word of God. Let me begin by asking you a question. Do you acknowledge the Lordship of Christ and that you believe it's God's will for you to marry? Your marriage is taking place in a society that has lost respect for the vows and for the keeping of the principles that guarantee a happy and enduring marriage. A major magazine had a lead article entitled, "The American Family, Can It Survive Today's Shocks?" Many do not, but yours can. Let me share as a reminder some principles that will not only let your marriage survive, but allow it to prosper. The first principle, God must make a marriage. He established it as a divine institution and ordained that Christians should marry Christians. The Apostle Paul said, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers." A couple with a personal relationship to Jesus Christ through faith in Him and repentance from sin have the best chance of succeeding in the process of building a lasting marriage. The second principle, there is to be a mutual submission. Ephesians 5:21 says, "Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." This does not eliminate the principles of the man being the spiritual leader of the home, but it is a careful reminder that the attitude of both partners is to be one of a mutually submissive spirit. That kind of heart keeps a husband from being a dictator and the wife from being the domineering force in the home. The third principle, God intends in His perfect will that marriage is to be a permanent affair. In Genesis 2:24, the Lord God said that a man should cleave unto his wife. Ordinarily, we think of a cleavage as a parting, but in biblical terms, it means to adhere together, stick together, no matter what. The contemporary mentality is that if it doesn't work, bail out. God's counsel is to commit yourselves to permanency. The fourth principle, develop your communication. A famous psychologist said that the most frequent fault in marriages seems to be the lack of complete, frank, and mutual openness. Genesis 2:25 says that the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. I believe there are two interpretations of this statement. First, They were not ashamed of their sexuality. Second, there is a symbolic understanding. Adam and Eve were open and honest with one another. Before the fall, they had a beautiful frankness and openness. After their sin, they tried to cover up and even blamed each other for their disobedience. Work at and develop your communication. It will be one of your strongest allies in making your marriage strong. The fifth and final principle, remember, marriage is a process. Genesis 2:24 reminds us that they shall become one flesh. There is nothing magical in repeating a vow. The real developing of your marriage into Christ-likeness will take the rest of your lives. The two of you must patiently build the walls of your marriage one day at a time. In that process, you will become one flesh. Congregation, you may be seated at this point. I need you to turn and face each other and hold hands. Now repeat after me your vows to the Lord and to one another. Okay, we'll begin with you, Alan. I, Alan, offer myself completely to you, Jennifer, to be your husband in marriage. I promise to love you with all my heart and to be true and faithful, patient, kind, and unselfish in this love. I promise to stand by beside you always in times of joy, in times of trial, and in times of sorrow. I dedicate our marriage and our home to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Our marriage and our home to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I pledge myself and all that I am in love. And Jennifer, will you repeat after me? I, Jennifer, offer myself completely to you, Alan, to be your wife in marriage. I promise to love you with all my heart and to be true and faithful, patient, kind, and unselfish in this love. I promise to stand beside you always in times of joy, in times of trial, and in times of sorrow. I dedicate our marriage and our home to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I pledge myself and all that I am in love. I forgot to ask you, do you want to do the rings or not? Okay. Alan and Jennifer, I require and charge you both, as you stand in the presence of God, your family, and those assembled witnesses, to keep this solemn vow inviolate and to be steadfast in your endeavors to build a marriage that brings glory to God and joy to your family and all of those who know and love you. Believing that is your deepest intention, it is my privilege as a minister of the gospel and by the authority invested in me by the laws of this state to pronounce from this day forward that you are now husband and wife. We pray for you a blessed marriage. You want to kiss her? Okay. Okay, so now they're going to go out. They're going to go with you. Okay. Turn and look that way, and I'll make a presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm happy to present and introduce to you Mr. and Mrs. Alan Grimes.
God, you have done great things. You give grace to the weak and bless the brokenhearted with the song of praise to sing. You reach down and lifted us up. You came running, looking for us. And now there's nothing and no one beyond your love. You're the overflow. You're the fountain of my heart. So let your mercy reign. Let your mercy reign. God, you have done great things. You give grace to the weak and bless the brokenhearted with the song of praise to sing. You reach down and lift it us up. You came running looking for us. And no one beyond your love, your love. You're the overflow. You're the fountain of my heart. So let your mercy reign. Let your mercy reign on us. You're the
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you tell them about that?
Just want you to know that they have some little cake and little drinks. And they would like for you to come back there and greet them and get you some cake and something to drink. And then we felt led to bless them with a little wedding shower, just some things that we wanted to bless them with. So they're going to open up some gifts just go back and enjoy the time with them, okay?
And you know when you get things wrong in your life and you know you need to straighten them up and you ask, God, Lord, forgive me. I messed it up. How many opportunities do you get to start over? How many? Is there a number? The closest number that you can come up with is 490 a day. That's what Jesus said. 490 times in the same day. So in other words, God's saying, there's no limit to how many times I'll let you keep trying until you get it right. Because my blood's already covered all of the wrong. Now, don't forget as you leave, I'm going to ask Brother Hale there to go on back by the door so he'll be there when y'all start leaving. If you got the offering for the Gideons, put it in his hand or whatever. And then just go through and say hi to Alan and Jennifer and spend a little time back there with them. They're part of us now. Amen. Moved all the way from Florida to be here. And we're believing. Fresh start, new life. Amen. God bless you. Keep you and watch after you. In all that you do and all that you say. In Jesus' name. Amen.